Hey guys, it's Blake, and you're listening to an all-new episode of Blonde Hair, Black Heart. All right, today's episode is going to be a quickie. It's literally like 5 p.m. on Friday, and I have slacked off and procrastinated and pushed this to the very, very end of the week. And like, I don't know, I could just start my weekend, but then it would be next week, and then it would be like a whole new slew of episodes, and then I'd have like three episodes of Pump Rules to recap, and like, it stacks up fast. And I will tell you, like, doing this podcast is super important to me. I love doing it, but it's so hard to find the time, especially now with the twins. And I know, like, I say this every week, but like, fuck, like, being a dad is tough, being a working dad is tough, and then being, like, a working dad who also has the need to talk incessantly about reality TV, like, God, it's really hard, you guys. But woe is me, I will figure it out, I swear, I keep saying that, but I will figure it out, I will get this schedule down, I will figure out what I need to do. I need to just, like, start doing the podcast earlier in the week. Like, I wait until Friday. Like, this is totally me back in like middle school and high school. And it's funny because I've worked very hard in my adulthood to like not be like that. And when it comes to like important shit, like my job and like my kids and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, I'm incredibly reliable. But, yeah, it's so hard. Because, like, here's the thing, especially with these recap episodes. Like, I watch the episode once for fun, and then I like to watch it again and take notes. And sometimes I do that twice through to make sure that it's, like, thorough. And then I actually have to come and, like, sit and talk about it. And so it's like, hours committed to recapping each episode. And some podcasts, I'm recapping multiple episodes. So it's like hours and hours of my time, you guys. And like, I'm not trying to make you feel bad for me at all, because you also commit hours of your life to listening to this podcast. So honestly, you're doing more work than I am. So anyways, I digress. All of that is to say, thanks for being here with me. At the end of a long week, we made it through. And now let's talk about Vanderpump Rules, shall we? On last week's episode, we pick up at the beach day, and Ariana is basically telling everyone what they can do with their suggestions that she coexist with Scum Duval. Shove them up their assholes. Lala tries to play devil's advocate, and Ariana tells her to shut the fuck up, rightfully so. But you can tell that Lala is definitely teetering to the dark side. She loves to challenge others, but she doesn't like being challenged back, which honestly makes it so weird that she's starting to side with Sandoval, because he was challenging her so much last year. But I don't know, I guess she just forgot about all of the shit that he was saying about her and her relationship with Randall and her daughter. But I didn't forget. Sandoval is venting to Schwartz about Ariana, and once again, he's going on and on about how the only reason they have pens and batteries in the house is because of him. And when Ariana finally moves out, she's going to be in for a rude awakening when she needs to write something down and she can't. Sheena's trying to set Schwartz up with her nanny, Tori. Like, Sheena, what is this inherent need you have to set every guy in your life up on dates? Like, just stay out of people's love lives. You and Katie are just starting to be cool, and I feel like this is really rocking the boat. But Katie actually doesn't seem to care much, because she knows she can just swoop in and date Tori herself. Honestly, this is huge dick energy, and I fucking love it. This love triangle is so wild, though, and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if next thing you know, Max is somehow in the mix, like fucking Tori. Or Schwartz, I don't know. Lala, Ariana, and Sheena sit and talk about Ariana's feelings about the breakup and having to leave her house. And Ariana breaks down, explaining the unresolved emotions she has about both. And I think this is such a perfect reminder to all of the viewers, and her castmates, who think she needs to just move on, that this is all so fresh and it's still so hurtful for her. And she has such valid reasons for not wanting to walk away from the house, you fucking assholes. What don't you get? Like, seriously, guys, this was her dream home. Thankfully now, she has a perfect little dream house that's up in the trees, and we're all very happy for her and the fact that she didn't just buy a white fucking farmhouse carbon copy of all the Vanderpump Valley people's houses. I did find it interesting, though, how Lala brought up Ariana's slew of gigs and deals post-breakup, this time in a complimentary way, telling Ariana that she's proud of how she took these opportunities and just ran with them. But, like, clearly Lala is always thinking about Ariana's opportunities. Jealous. So Katie and Tori have a hot little makeout sesh, and TBH, they are so fucking cute together. Even if it's not real, whether it's a storyline or if it's just to piss off Schwartzy, it's cute, and I love lesbian Katie. Like, honestly, it suits her. Okay, so in another fucking random-ass scene featuring Lala and someone she would never spend time with in real life, getting hot dogs with Joe. This is so forced and so weird. Joe says that Lala's her ticket to being a part of Schwartz's life forever. Weird as fuck. She also said that she had no clue about Raquel and Tom's affair. Then in confessional, she says that she thought Ariana and Tom were already broken up. So which one was it? I mean, both are bullshit, obviously, but like, pick a story, girl. Clearly she's new to reality TV. Oh, and she refers to Schwartz as T-Money. I can't with this girl. Some of the gang, the good half, Ariana, Katie, James, and Allie, are all at Topgolf. I don't love golf, but I love this crew. James reveals that Sandoval has invited the gang paintballing, and Ariana reveals that she has finally countered Sandoval's dum-dum offer to buy her out of the house. Lala and Sheena go sperm shopping, and Lala reveals that she's going to throw a party with her friends and family to celebrate picking a donor and welcoming her baby into the world. We love a good theme party, especially when the theme is help me pick out jizz. Then they sit around and talk shit about their friend Ariana and how she won't leave her house, even though they just had a conversation where she cried to them and told them exactly why it's so hard to leave. Gosh, these chicks suck. Speaking of sucking, Schwartz has Joe dye his hair bleach blonde, and honestly, it's horrific. And that's coming from someone who has had horrible bleach blonde hair. This is so bad, though. Honestly, it feels like Joe did it on purpose to get back at Schwartz for making her look like a crackhead. She literally tells him not to worry and that he's in good hands, but, like, that's a lie, and he should have worried. The girls go out for drinks while the Toms and their paid friends and stalker Joe go to a singles event. Like, why is Joe there? This is so fucking uncomfortable. Joe's obsessed with Schwartz, so much so that she literally just followed him to a singles mixer. Lala reveals to Katie that she went out for hot dogs with Joe, and Katie is shocked and, frankly, appalled. Lala's super defensive of her decision to go hang out with Joe, and when Katie asks why she felt like she needed to do this, Lala says it's because she's soft right now. Actually, she kind of screamed it. Very soft. Lala condescendingly tells Katie that she needs to move on, and she wishes her the best. But it's like, okay, once again, I will say the same thing that I said last week. Has Lala moved on from her shit with Randall? Would she be okay with someone defending him, or hanging out with him and his new girlfriend, or even just suggesting that Lala have a conversation with him herself? The answer to all of those questions is no. No, bitch, no. At the singles mixer, Schwartz makes out with this really sloppy girl, and Joe sees it and obviously freaks out. And, like, I'm so torn because in so many ways I feel really bad for this girl, and I'm sure that Schwartz sends her so many mixed messages, but, like, he's telling people that he's not with you in front of you, so, like, take the hint. Like, it's not even a hint, it's a flashing fucking neon sign at this point. The next day, the guys and the pick-me girls go paintballing, and honestly, this is so triggering for me because, like, this is the type of hetero shit that I avoided so hard growing up, or wasn't invited to. Either way, I'm triggered. The girls sit and have a little gossip sesh, which is something I can get behind, but they sit and talk shit about Katie, and that I cannot get behind. Lala acts like Katie's some type of hypocrite for expecting loyalty from her friends when she fucked Max, but, like, who was Katie needing to be loyal to in that situation? Like, make it make sense, Lauren. Joe and Schwartz get into this little spat about the state of their relationship, or lack thereof, and Joe straight up asks Schwartz, are you embarrassed by me? And the answer is obviously yes. Like, we're all a little embarrassed by you, Joseph. All right, so then on this week's episode, Sheena's shooting her music video for Good As Gold, the emo remix, which, like, who needed that? But anyways, Lala and Ariana come to support because Ariana's a good friend and Lala likes to pretend she's a good friend. Katie doesn't come because she's sick, or hungover, or afraid of Lala, according to Sheena. But I don't know, Katie doesn't seem scared of anyone to me, TBH. Underneath the Burbank flight path, Allie is filling James in on Rachel's appearance on Bethany's podcast. Lala, Sheena, and Ariana are also talking about the podcast and how Rachel continues to struggle with telling the truth. Speaking of which, sidebar, this is still true. Rachel has not learned anything. The fact that she encouraged Joe to post mean stories about Katie and Dana on her story like 2 weeks ago proves it. And I don't care that she apologized and she talked about it on her podcast a week later. Like, she still did it, which proves that she's immature and vindictive and mean. Like, all of these things that she tries to swear she's not. But Rachel Levis is not some innocent little lamb, people. Wake up. Wake up. James is trying to figure out his friendship with Sandoval. God knows why. But for some reason, James really wants to be friends with Tom again. Lala asks Ariana if she can use her house for her sperm party. It's interesting how Lala talks so much shit about Ariana and this house, but then she wants to use it for her party. Girl, go get an apartment or something, right? Like, isn't that what you would say? But Ariana says she can't use it anyways because the place is a pigsty now that Anne has left. It's so sad that she was basically just a glorified cleaning lady. Lala obviously doesn't want to host her sperm party amidst Sandoval's gross, probably spermy clothes and other crap, so she opts to have the event at LVP's. A solid choice. So Sandoval has also listened to Bethany's podcast interview with Rachel, and he has a lot of feelings and a lot of fake tears. It's so pathetic and cringy, and honestly, you can't say that Rachel never did anything right, because walking away from this clown was a very smart decision. So TomTom is now half TomTom, half Pump. I mean, it's really only 5% TomTom, isn't it? But anyways, now they're hosting brunch to bring back the Pump vibes, and the guys have some cocktail ideas. Literally, here we are like 8 years later, and these guys still bring absolutely nothing to the table besides shitty, ridiculous beverages. Sandoval comes in super upset because of this podcast. Like, oh my God, who knew Bethany Frankel could cause such turmoil in West Hollywood? This is a crisis, guys. He and LVP are talking about the house situation, and he tells her that Ariana finally responded, and now he can't afford to keep the house because it took so long. But, like, you never could afford to keep the house, you big fucking idiot. Sheena goes over to Ariana and Tom's and sees the mess that is life without Anne. She wants to help clean this shit up, and it's in moments like this that I do think Sheena's a really good friend, but wouldn't it be so fucking funny if after Sheena clocked out of maid duty, Ariana was like, just so you know, we aren't really friends. Like that one time Sheena did that to James when he was helping her move. Later on, Sandoval's at band practice screeching his life away in a fucking dipped out t-shirt. This douchebag literally tried to brand and monetize his affair. I mean, I said last week that he clearly was pissed that Ariana got all of these deals and he didn't, but him thinking that people were actually going to walk around repping dipped out t-shirts is another level of delusion. James shows up to see Sandoval and commiserate over Rachel's shit-talking on the podcast, and Sandoval literally says that Raquel used him. Yes, yes, she used him. The girl that is more than 10 years younger than him and has two and a half maybe whole brain cells and was clearly groomed by you, you creepy fucking 40-year-old. Yes, she used you. Sure. Sure. At one point in James and Sandoval's convo, it becomes a pissing match over who Raquel loved more, or less, I guess, and honestly, James eviscerates Sandoval, all whilst holding Hippie, formerly known as Graham, on his little leash. I mean, I in no way think that James is, like, a great person, or even a good one, but he is great television. He really is. As James is storming out after telling Sandy that his band is a joke, Tom tells him to go push some buttons on his laptop. And James just, like, laughs and walks away, which honestly is the best response, and it shows so much growth on James's part. Attaboy, James. Being the number one guy in the group looks good on you, buddy. At Villa Rosa, LVP is hosting Lala's Semen Soiree. Allie tells Katie that Lala thinks she's a miserable bitch, pretty much. Later on, Lala claims she never said those words, but potato, potato, you definitely implied it. The Toms are talking, and Sandoval has a knife strapped to his leg and a new body double for an assistant. I don't know, it's all very odd. Tom asks Tom to move in with him and pay a very measly $6,000 a month to be his roomie. Schwartz says that it would be ridiculous to pay $6,000 a month into something that he doesn't own, which is the smartest thing that Schwartz has ever said. Sandoval suggests that they take out a loan together, which is the stupidest thing that Sandoval's ever said. Truly, truly absurd. Like, this man really doesn't think before he speaks. At Lala's party, the gang plays some games and then hears some info about the potential donors before they all pick one for Lala. Okay, so I posted that this is so interesting to me that if the guy, like the donor, happens to be a Bravo-holic and he watches the show, then he would totally know that Lala picked his sperm based on his answers to the questions. Like, wild, right? But then someone responded and told me that apparently this guy is dead. Even wilder, huh? Like, I don't know how they know that, but I'm assuming it's true. And it's crazy. R.I.P. sperm donor number one. R.I.P. Speaking of R.I.P., R.I.P. to James's hopes and dreams of having a wife and kids. Allie rips his heart out when she pretty much says that she doesn't care about getting married or having kids. And it's sad, though, because I want James to have it all. starting with a little therapy, but then a wife and kids. TomTom slash Pump is having their first brunch, and oh my god, Tom Sandoval shows up in, like, the most ridiculous, oversized, pale pink suit and, like, a pearl necklace. It's just, who is encouraging this guy's style? Who tells him that he looks good? This outfit is more suited for Diane Keaton than Tom Sandoval. Okay, so at brunch, the girls are discussing how Lala said Katie is miserable, and Lala says she didn't say that, but she basically said that. So Katie says she feels like Lala is much more defensive lately. And Lala says that that's because Katie and Ariana are so close now and she doesn't know where she stands. Katie throws it right back, though, and she's like, no, you never have time for me. The two of them cry and they have this cute little moment, but we all know that it's going to be short-lived because in real time, Lala is running that big mouth of hers about Katie nonstop. But I do have to say that Katie and Ariana, who also has been on the receiving end of Lala's BS lately, they've both been so respectful and, like, continue to take the high road. They're just like, yeah, I don't know what Lala's yelling about, but let her keep screaming into the wind if it makes her feel better. And I certainly don't know if it's making her feel any better, but she's definitely still screaming. Sheena wanders over to Tom and Tom to casually drop the news that she's releasing her new single, which features a few lyrics that may or may not be about Scandoval and Rachel's Jetta. Which, by the way, when I was in high school, every girl wanted a Jetta so bad. Baby Jets, that's what they would call them. I want my baby Jets. Sandoval gets so pissed and he storms out of the bar as he tells Sheena angrily to keep cashing in on his misery. But, like, bro, you were literally wearing a dipped out shirt earlier in this episode. Come on. Come the fuck on. I mean, full disclosure, I'm not listening to Sheena's song any more than I'm wearing a dipped out t-shirt. Let's be clear. All right, guys, that's it for today. It was a short and sweet one, but like I said, it is 5 p.m. on Friday. Daddy needs a beer. Which probably isn't going to happen because I've got to go take care of my kids. All right, guys, if you liked this episode, please subscribe, give me a 5-star rating and review. Go follow me on social. If you didn't like the episode, let's just pretend it never happened. All right, until next time, bye.